Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if there is or not.
I don't know if there's a black and white answer.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how.
Give us some men who know the truth. And who will declare the truth? And who will stand with Athanasius and Polycarp and Calvin and Luther and Whitfield and Edwards? And who will declare from the housetops that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, here's something you're not hearing much at the Olympics these days. I kid, my British friends. A little, anyway. This is Wretched Radio. Fourth place in the medal standings. That's nice. Jimmy, would you check how's America doing these days at the Olympics?
Yeah, at the top, 95.
Well, far be it from us to boast or brag. Which is the new spirit of the Olympics? Have you noticed? Wow, has it changed. When the Olympics began over 120 years ago, it was for competition. For young people to get in shape and to participate representing their nation in an event that did indeed bring the world together, and it showcased great athletics in a spirit of congeniality. Well, that spirit seems to be long gone. Have you listened to the interviews of these young people being interviewed? Wow. I'm telling you. I mean, I got pride, so it's not like I'm looking at prideful people from a standpoint of perfect humility. I got heaps of it. So when I'm sniffing that these young people are so filled with thoughts of their own amazing abilities, you know, I believe in myself, and I knew I could do this. I knew I was going to win this. Whoa! What happened to humility? What happened to congratulations to the others who competed. You made me a better athlete, and I thank you for that. That's not, in fact, there's not a whole lot of, considering all of the medals, there's not a whole lot of giving glory to God. There's one young woman. Jimmy, did you watch the women's 400-meter hurdles?
I can't say that I did.
Well, you would have seen Sydney McLaughlin, who set a new world record. Well done. Tweeting. No, she said, quote, "Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal." Whoa. Well done. That was better than your standard kissy kissy. Yeah, you know, and you know, God's groovy and everything. And so I trained really hard and I believed in myself. This young lady seems to have her theological head on straight. Quote, "I no longer run for my own self-recognition, but to reflect his perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace through faith, Jesus has given me everything." That's solid and a whole lot better than just a little kiss your fingers and do a point up in the air. The spirit of the Olympics seems now to be about me, that it's all about self. And letting the world know how amazing I am. Certainly not true of all athletes, but I haven't seen much of it, but the Olympics, but the interviews that I've seen, wow. The young man who's the runner, I'm sure there's a more technical term. The man who's supposedly the fastest man in the world, he was in a race. I don't know what the length was. And apparently there was controversy about who won. It was just nose and nose. It was so close that they had to delay. And as he's watching it, he's looking like, oh boy, I don't think that I won this thing. And then when it was determined that he did win, rather than shaking the hand of the guy that he just nosed out, he takes off his little name thing and holds it out with the most pride-filled look. And when he was interviewed afterwards, the fellow said, well, how are you feeling before the decision? He said, I thought I was going to have to eat some crow, because I guess he's a bit of a braggart. He said, I thought I was going to have to eat some crow. But then when I won, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I would beat him. I knew I could do this because I've been amazing and I've been training and I love myself and I do a little kissy kissy to myself because I love me so much. The spirit of the Olympics, not for everyone, but woof. There's another spirit at the Olympics. Yeah, I know. We're supposed to talk about England, but we'll get to. Who can tell the difference really between France and England anyway? The headline from National Review is "Queering the Olympics?" Question mark. According to Outsports, 193 openly LGBTQ plus athletes are competing more than ever before, a stunning increase from just 23 in 2012. Jimmy, that seems like a lot, but it seems to me there's like thousands of athletes competing there. From China alone.
Over 10,000.
Oh, wow. So this is a small percentage.
Yeah.
What is that? Do that math, can you? Call it 200 and call it 10. Well, it's 2%.
Yeah, right at 2%, yeah.
That's probably about right, isn't it? This is from Outsports. People that are willing to identify themselves. The National Review was, since when do athletic competitions put one's sexuality up front? Isn't this supposed to be about athletics and not about agenda? Silly rabbits. One last note from the Olympics before we go across the water to England. French steeplechaser, can't pronounce her name, breaks European record, then proposes marriage. And I thought, well, let's see what gender she proposed to. Turns out it was a dude. Quote, "I told myself that if I ran under 9 minutes, knowing that 9 is my lucky number and that we've been together for 9 years, then I'd propose." She could be a member of the NAR with that kind of numerology going on. "I don't like doing things like everyone else. Since he hadn't done it yet, I told myself maybe it's up to me to do it." And so she did. She proposed to him and he hung his head in shame and wept. Okay, that's what he should have done. Let's go now to Great Britain and stay there, shall we? This is cringy, is what this is. In Great Britain, for years, hundreds of years, they've sworn in jurors or those who are testifying in a court of law on a Bible, King James Version. Nope, not in the Roding Stonesbrook Crown Court in East London. River Roding. At Stonesbrook, my British friends, not that you're actually listening anymore. Anyway, Crown Court in East London. The fellow swore in on a river. "I told the judge, the river was effectively my God and that I would hold the river to be sacred." Yeah. On this basis, the judge allowed the oath alongside an affirmation. So in Great Britain, you don't swear in on a Bible. You swear in on a river. Now, normally, I would boast about America never doing anything like that, but we swear in on Qurans, and that's way worse than actually swearing in on rivers, if you don't mind me saying so. The 38-year-old lives on a boat on the Roding River, the third largest river in London. Quote, "Rivers have no legal representation. We increasingly have situations where environmental laws don't protect rivers. But that very same river is his God? What kind of deity is he worshiping? Sorry, you think that's being sarcastic. Consider Psalm, is it 115, I believe, in that neighborhood, Jeremiah and Isaiah. Both parody those people who make their God out of a piece of wood. And you have to carry it to the altar to be worshiped. That's your God, this fellow swears in on his effective God who doesn't have the ability to protect itself. I fundamentally believe that until we take small steps to regard nature as sacred again, rather than a human commodity, the situation is not going to change." There it is, bringing man down, elevating nature so that we are equals. In London, a play at the Almeida Theatre, in Islington, hope I'm saying that right, it's called The Years, had to stop in the middle of the play as 4 people in the audience got sick. Why? Because, well, they apparently didn't read the content warning of the play. First staged in the Netherlands in 2022, recommending a minimum age of 15, and states the production features a graphic depiction of an abortion. Well, I don't know what upset them. I mean, unless, of course, you're just squeamish about any surgical procedure, why would you be upset about an abortion when it's nothing more substantial than mole removal? I don't think anybody would get squeamish at watching a scene of a dentist extracting a wisdom tooth. What's the difference? Oh, yeah, we all know that is a whole innocent human being. The author, 83 years old, was given the Nobel Prize in 2022 for the courage and clinical acuity with which she uncovers the roots, estrangements, and collective restraints of personal memory. Blah, 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 gibberish, academic lingo, all intended to convince you that what they are doing in an abortion isn't murder. You see, it's an academic study of the acuity of the nature of these needed healthcare procedures for women. And that brings us to the new vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party, who happens to be the most pro-abort governor that Kamala Harris could have possibly picked. How do I know? Because we're going to go to Minnesota, specifically, and visit our good friend David Wheaton of Christian Worldview. And we're going to ask him, what's going on in Minnesota anyway? Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the field. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally, 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
From the land that brought you Walter Mondale, Paul Wellstone, Jesse Ventura, and Al Franken, now brings you David Wheaton. This is Wretched Radio. David, our intrepid reporter from Minnesota, joining us on the line to give us an insider's peek of the new potential vice president of the United States, Governor Tim Walz. David, how are things in the land of 10,000 radical politicians?
Well, you know well, Todd, having lived here for many years yourself.
I know. What's going on? I'd love to say that it happened when I left, but I'm not Donald Trump. And second of all, liberal politicians, you think of Minnesota, it's the heartland, it's the Midwest. But Walter Mondale, Paul Wellstone, Jesse Ventura, Al Franken, Tim Walz ain't like the first really liberal guy.
No, he's not. And there's something I think that the dynamic here in Minnesota of, you know, we have the big city here, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It tends to really sigh to have an ethic, a worldview aligned with sort of the Eastern elite schools and so forth. So there's that. There's a lot of big business here. They go off to the East Coast to get educated. They come back. There's that. But then there's also what the name of the Democrat Party is here. It's called the DFL, Democrats, Farmers, and Laborers. And there's that historic triunity, if I could use that word. And it is a very liberal state for some reason. Maybe it has something to do with spiritually, too, Todd.
I think so, David.
With a lot of Lutherans, Roman Catholics that are very much on the left. And I think you mix all that together and you get the sort of politicians that you just mentioned. It's a far left state. People don't understand that. But there's also a lot of conservatives in the state and a lot of believers in the state. It's just that we're vastly outnumbered. So I think the last time, consider this, the last time this state, Minnesota, voted for a Republican candidate for president was 1972.
No.
with Richard Nixon. Yeah, Ronald Reagan was one of the only states he didn't win. So that's what makes this pick of Tim Walz, who's far left on the political spectrum, very radical. We'll get into that in a second. So confounding. Like, well, what does that really do for Kamala Harris? Because she's going to win this state anyway. I mean, I know Trump, they can talk about the fact that Minnesota is in play, but Minnesota never seems to be in play.
It just keeps.
You think, why would she pick him?
Minnesota is so faithful at breaking our hearts. If you're not familiar with David Wheaton, David, your program, it's airing around the nation, Christian Worldview. It is outstanding. I encourage you to find it on your Spotify machine, the Googler. David Wheaton might be a name that rings a bell if and you are a tennis player. David, are you still competing professionally?
Oh, Todd. Whoa, that was many hairlines ago that I was on the tennis tour.
Well, you did. this hurts a little bit, but you did the senior thing at Wimbledon.
I did. So I played professionally from age 19 to 32.
Yeah.
And I stepped off full-time competition on the tennis tour in the early 2000s. That's when I got involved in Christian radio. But then for the next 7 or 8 years, there was a transitional time where I was still invited to play a lot of the quote-unquote senior events. And here I was just about 35 years old playing Ouch. Quote senior events.
Ouch.
But really, really, really was a meaningful part of my life. And God used my background in tennis really to bring me to himself. he brought me to the point of understanding what the gospel was in my mid-20s, right in the middle of my tennis career. So really grateful for that.
So you've spanned the globe and yet you stay in Minnesota. You're just so dedicated to the state, even as you watch it continually slip sliding away. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're remaining faithful. I'm glad that you're a voice still on KKMS and stations around the country. If you've never tuned in, you launch it Saturday mornings. It is outstanding. Spotify, Google, etc. Christian Worldview, David Wheaton. All right, David, let's get into this sorry, the vice presidential potential pick for Kamala Harris. Let's talk life, beginning of life, end of life issues. Where's the fellow at?
Well, I think it's really important to understand if you talk about Tim Walz and his who he is and what his beliefs are, that this isn't a discussion just on political left versus political right. You know, like a Democrat bad, Republican good. This is a far deeper spiritual, theological, biblical matter. This is right there in Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth, the governors of Minnesota take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. This is a Romans 1 situation that they don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gives them over to a depraved mind, and they give hearty approval to those who practice sin. I mean, that's really described Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. I mean, there was a recent article here, and actually written by a local pastor in World Magazine, just saying how radical it is. And you mentioned the issue of abortion. I mean, the last several years in Minnesota, and it has gotten some national news, is just how far radically, politically, and theologically left, God rejecting maybe is the better word, this state has become with regard to abortion. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know, this state went into high gear to be a state of refuge.
You were number one.
Right.
You were first first out of the gate. But David, I'm so sorry that I have to correct you on this, because you're missing a big bite of information. You say that this is godlessness. This is the kings of Minnesota trying to overthrow God on his throne.
Yeah.
He goes to Pilgrim Lutheran Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. So clearly you're missing something, David.
Yes, exactly. And that's why when I read recently on Julie Royce's website, she posted an article by someone that the headline had to do with, you know, Tim Royce is a Minnesota Lutheran dad. You know,
well,
the point is, he's a moderate, but he's really anything but a moderate. I think he's probably one of the far most radical leftist governors in the country. And again, it goes back to the question, like, why would Kamala Harris pick him? I mean, he doesn't moderate. Maybe he has the appearance of that because he's from Minnesota and he's white and he's Midwestern and that kind of thing. But this man's views, people, your listeners should know that he is very, very extreme. On the issue of abortion, I mean, like I mentioned, he established a fundamental right to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And even like the born alive situation, where this is hard to even mention. Unspeakably evil. He's doing everything he can. Matter of fact, he said recently in an audio bite, and I'm sure you'll probably get this for the program, he said, my record, this is a quote, is so pro-choice. He was like screaming this at a rally, that Nancy Pelosi asked me if I should tone it down. And he said, I stand with Planned Parenthood and we won. He just doubled down on the issue of, there is no shame here. There is no conscience here.
And David, it does go back to his church. It does go back to the ELCA. Not all there's great confessional Lutherans out, but this is Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. He's really in lockstep alignment with what they have been doing in that synod for decades. Did you visit the Pilgrim Lutheran Church website by any chance?
I did.
It's a beautiful church, stained glass pipe organ. So it's close to being Orthodox if it has a pipe organ. But their statement of faith, well, it's virtually non-existent. And his pastrix, at least she uses the pronouns she, her. Not all of the ministerial staff did, but it's in my estimation, David, it comes from his religious worldview, which is why I think you're spot on in Psalm 2 and Romans 1. This is far deeper and more profound than just politics. Okay, so that's life. Real quick, what about the LGBTQ trans business?
Well, as you might expect, he's fully on that evil, that God-rejecting policy as well. He declared Minnesota to be a trans refuge for children seeking sex changes. So kids from other states are just welcomed and encouraged to come here and do these sometimes irreversible surgeries And there's one more thing, even that this defies even sanity. He signed a bill in 2023 that requires schools, and I'm quoting here, to provide, quote, free menstrual products like tampons in girls and, quote, in boys' bathrooms. And the Democrat author of that bill said, not all students who menstruate, and I don't mean to be graphic here, are female. And so this just gives you a little view into his really very, very theologically left worldview that is just so anti-God and anti-anything good and right as we see in Scripture.
Minnesota's heritage continues. The land of 10,000. Really liberal politicians. David Wheaton, do not miss his weekend program, Christian Worldview. David, love to Brody. Stay faithful. Minnesota needs you.
Same with you, Todd. Keep standing firm in him.
This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a move that will protect traditional values in Bulgaria, the parliament there has passed legislation banning LGBTQ propaganda in their schools, with an overwhelming majority voting in favor of putting the kibosh on non-traditional notions of gender and sexuality in the classroom. It's clear Bulgarian lawmakers are taking a stand for the innocence of children and parental rights. The amendment gained widespread support across the political spectrum, with MPs citing concern over inappropriate sexual education materials being distributed to children and teenagers, rightfully recognizing the need to shield young minds from confusing and potentially harmful ideologies. Shifting gears to Canada, where concerns are mounting over their Medical Assistance in Dying, or MAID, program. Professor Christopher Lyon from the University of York has published a sobering study suggesting that Canada's euthanasia law may be enabling healthcare serial killers. That highlights the dangers of normalizing something like euthanasia and assisted suicide in the healthcare system. And maybe you've seen this story. A Houston middle school teacher named David Garza saved a 15-year-old girl from a potential sexual assault. Garza, hearing screams from his apartment, grabbed his firearm and rushed to confront the attacker without hesitation. His quick thinking demonstrates the vital role that armed, law-abiding citizens play in protecting their communities. His neighbors who witnessed the incident believe his intervention likely prevented a tragedy. Finally, in a disturbing development across the pond, England's Director of Public Prosecutions has announced that dedicated police officers are now monitoring social media for posts that could potentially start racial hatred. That's pretty Orwellian, and that approach to law enforcement should raise serious concerns about free speech and government overreach. And the director says even retweeting certain content could be considered an offense. And we continue to witness the erosion of free speech all over the world. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to meet the man that makes Paul Washer feel like a girly man. This is Wretched Radio. What image of a man appeared in your brain when I said there is a fellow who makes Paul Washer, who's never been accused of being a sissy pants? What is the image in your brain of this man who actually intimidates Paul Washer? Perhaps you're thinking, well, it's got to be a fellow taller than Paul who stands about 6'1". So this guy probably like 6'5", really muscular. No, not me. It's David Miller. You say, I'm not familiar with a David Miller. Who is this man who intimidates Paul Washer? David Miller is a Southern Baptist who ran into the arms of Jesus Christ this week. He ran into his arms. Heretofore on this planet, he'd been confined to an electric wheelchair. Why? Due to a degenerative disease, David Miller was confined to a wheelchair. He could move his finger, a finger, and of course he could speak and move his head. Other than that, David Miller required 24/7 care for decades. And this week he ran into the arms of Jesus Christ. And we do well to remember the man who makes Paul Washer feel like a sissy pants. Why? Because there's so much confusion these days on what it means to be a real man. David Miller was a real man. It was not his presence that intimidated. It wasn't that he was threatening in his look. No, this was a man who was a biblical man. And that is the definition that we need to strive after. The world will try to define men a certain way. We will also get a little bit confused when it comes to chromosomes. Well, there are certain characteristics that are typically masculine. So I just need to work on those and then I'll be a man. Well, you can work on those. But the degree of masculine traits that you have because of your DNA, that's not what really makes you a man. Those are masculine characteristics, but that's not what makes a man a man. So what does? This is going to sound like a Sunday school answer, but I'm telling you, this is the answer. And David Miller personified it. A real godly man is one who strives to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that's too basic. I say, oh, have you tried it? It is a man who is striving to grow in godliness. You say that, but that's the answer to like a lot of stuff. And it's the answer to biblical masculinity, that you strive to be obedient to Scripture, that you strain to be godly in speech, in thought, in deed. You do the things that the Bible says is needed for you to grow in godliness, which is what's going to make you a real masculine male. And incidentally, isn't this profound? The very same recipe that God gives to help men be real men, the exact same recipe for women. Because that's the assignment for all of us. And David Miller worked hard to be that kind of a man. David Miller memorized books of the Bible, entire books. He memorized his sermons. He was an evangelist who traveled around the country to make sure people were saved. And he memorized his sermons. He memorized not just passages, but entire books in the Bible. And when I asked David, wow, I strain to memorize a Bible verse. How do you do it? His calm answer was, well, I try harder. And indeed he did. He tried harder. And this was a man who did much great work. This is the type of work that a man should set his sights on. Don't know if you recall the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, but going back about four decades, it was going wonky. You say, well, wow, I think it's got issues today. Nothing compared to what it was dealing with 40, 50 years ago when the SBC was going downright wonky. It was becoming a pro-choice party, and a number of conservative men, Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, Al Mohler, and David Miller determined, we're going to try to rescue this thing. And so they did, and they pulled the SBC from veering wildly left to a more conservative SBC, for which we should all be grateful, whether you're SBC or not. David Miller was in a meeting with a number of liberals as they were discussing these issues. And David brought up the issue of life and that the Southern Baptist Convention had a history of being pro-life. And there was a document that had codified that position. And one of the liberals said, well, who reads that? And David said, well, I do. This is what it says. And he cited it from memory. Boom, boom. That was David Miller. And we lost him this week. And our loss is his gain because now his legs are whole. He can move. and he can do all the things that perhaps you and I can do, and yet he's doing something that, quite honestly, is probably distracting the joy of having a body that is working. And that is, he's with his Savior, whom he loved. 11 years ago, I had a chance to sit down with David Miller and have a chat with him. Let's spend time with the man that makes Paul Washer feel like a girl. What lessons have you learned in this chair that you might not have learned walking?
To say, hey, you. Yeah, if you get hungry enough, you'll stop someone on the street and ask them to help you to get a bite of this burger. You just do things out of necessity. You make adjustments. Life is an adjustment.
Okay, how then would you share with somebody, whether they have just been put into a wheelchair or it's a health issue or whatever their struggle is that's hard for them, what would you say to them to help them have the attitude that you are displaying right now?
I don't like to deal with handicapped people. They make me nervous.
Okay. That's just so wry. And his smile.
They expect you to have a little formula to give to them. And honestly, I do not have a formula to give to handicapped people. I haven't had one. It is the grace of God that has enabled me. I could have been as discouraged and depressed and despondent as any man who ever lived were it not for the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. It's providence. Now, having said that, there have been some times when I have gotten up really close, invaded their space, and suggested that they get off their rear end and get going. Quit sitting around feeling sorry for yourself and get up and live life. You claim to be a Christian, act like it. There's a certain amount of joy that transcends all physical ailments. And so I probably would never have made it as a counselor, would I?
Actually, he would have. Perhaps that encouragement / advice went ding right off of you because you think, well, I'm not confined to a wheelchair. But I would ask you the question, if you are struggling with encouragement, if you're struggling with a lack of assurance, if you're perhaps going through a period of blue woe is me, I would ask you, are you doing something? Are you getting on it? Are you working for the Lord? Are you plugged into your local church? David Miller, confined to a wheelchair, he traveled the country witnessing to everyone. And this is a man, I got to tell you, after my own heart, because he was so concerned that we actually get the gospel right. This is an interview with David from 10 years ago.
And if I want to be in a right relationship with this king, must I sign a card, ask him into my heart, walk an aisle, or is there something else?
There's something else.
Oh, man, I wish I could be that subtle.
Yes, indeed. The things you enumerated represent the weakness, if not the failure, of modern-day evangelism.
A man after my heart who recognized evangelicalism has turned evangelism into something that is, well, let's just be gracious and say, is less than biblical. So let us learn from a man who was a godly man how we must go about the business of defending and presenting the gospel so that we don't contribute to the modern-day evangelical population of false converts. Next, on Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you feeling lost in a world that tells you you're toxic for just being a man? Well, it's time to cut through all of the noise. Introducing the Gentleman Event, where real masculinity beats biblical wisdom. Dr. John Grotz will arm you with 10 powerful mini lectures on August 16th and 17th, where you'll learn how to earn genuine respect and admiration, the keys to stepping up and leading well, and God's blueprint for authentic manhood. Because contrary to popular belief, your Y chromosome is not a curse. It's Friday evening, August the 16th, or Saturday morning, August 17th. Choose one or both sessions. Look, don't let society define you. Define yourself through the truth of God's word. Sign up right now at wretched.org/gentleman. That's wretched.org/gentleman. It's the Gentleman Event, because real men aren't toxic, they're transformative. And dads, bring your sons, because it's time to man up the right way.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A sad week for us, a happy week for David Miller. This is Wretched Radio. If you've ever attended the G3 conference, chances are good you are blessed to hear David Miller preach from memory. Why? Because this is a man who was confined to a wheelchair. He couldn't turn the pages of a sermon outline. He couldn't operate his computer to show him the next prompt. Instead, he memorized his sermons because he memorized scripture. He memorized entire documents. He was a man after God's own heart, and he desired to be like Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you something. If ever a man personified what biblical manhood is, it's David Miller. A man who, I'm looking at the video. He couldn't move his legs. He couldn't move the 99% of his upper body. He could move his head. He could move a finger. And yet this man, confined to a wheelchair, was a fighter. And he was delightful to be with. And he wasn't a complainer. And he was godly. And we lost David this week. Our loss, his gain. He's currently no longer in a wheelchair. and he's with the Savior that he wants you to be with. And so it is a decade ago when I spent time with him at a G3 conference. I asked him about some of the evangelical lingo that we use these days when it comes to sharing our faith. And he had the exact same concern we should all have about using sloppy, non-biblical lingo after we present the law and the gospel.
Decisional regeneration. We ought to repent. We ought to repent for dumbing down the gospel, for preaching a gospel that doesn't offend the sinner, for preaching synergistic rather than monergistic regeneration. Stand still, listen, while I read three or four terse statements from a pamphlet. And if I can get you to nod affirmatively, we'll baptize you and add you to the church. I don't believe a word of that. I won't be surprised, Todd, if I hear of churches in the near future taking folks into the church over the internet and baptizing their photograph.
Jimmy, has that happened yet? If not, we come real close.
There's more involved in the experience of salvation than just signing a card and walking down a church aisle. We must be exposed to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We have no ability of our own to repent and believe. However, we can avail ourselves. If you are not a Christian in this room today, you can avail yourself of the means of grace. You can bend your knee, and you can bow your heart, and you can call upon the Lord, and you can beseech the Lord for mercy, confess your sins, and trust Him to do a work of regeneration in your heart, to give you, to infuse into you an inclination to turn from sin with godly sorrow and to believe the gospel. That's salvation. That gets you started. That's salvation in the past tense. This repenting and believing results in justification. The Lord will clear you of guilt, declare you to be innocent, and give to you the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll take the practical, not the intrinsic, the practical righteousness of Christ, His having fulfilled the law as a substitute for sinners. God will write that down on your account. This will provide positional sanctification for you. When God looks upon you thereafter, He'll see you as being in Christ, in possession of the righteousness of Christ. You'll never have any righteousness of your own.
David Miller wanted to make sure that people knew the gospel. Question, do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the correct response? Let's go back 7 years. I had the chance to sit down again with the late, great David Miller.
Justification is past tense salvation. We've been cleared of guilt and given the righteousness of Christ.
That declaration, that imputed righteousness, when that is given to the sinner, can the sinner lose that imputation?
No. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, the question is raised, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. The question you ask, and the question this text asks, used to haunt me. I thought to myself, who shall lay anything as a charge against me? Probably anyone who followed me around for a few minutes. You wouldn't have been proud of me, Todd, at the airport in Memphis that Saturday afternoon. They were supposed to bring my chair up to the jet arm. I waited. Finally, they came. They sent two women to lift me up out of the seat and set me in the gurney. And when I got out there, my chair wasn't there. A little chair. Perhaps a 100-pound lady could have sat in it. And it only had 1 foot flat. And here I am with 2 feet. And the lady said, "Mr. Miller, would you please allow us to set you in this little chair? Some other folks across the concourse need the gurney." Hmm. I wanted to be compliant, so I said yes. And I said, "I'll wait here in the privacy of the jet arm before I make the transfer into my chair." So I waited, and finally a head honcho type person came down and he said, "Sir, what's your problem?" I said, "Oh my, I don't have a problem other than I'm waiting for my chair." And he said, "Well, you can't wait any longer. I'm going to take you out into the concourse." Well, that didn't set well with me. I didn't mind putting on a show in the concourse, but I like to sell tickets in advance. And I hadn't been able to do that. So I said, "No, sir. I'm going to remain here in the jet arm until they bring my chair, because out of a sense of self-dignity, I don't want to make a spectacle out in the concourse." But he took hold of my chair, the little chair, and he turned it around and he commenced to move me away. And oh my, I said to my companion, his name is Bill Williams, he was strong and stout. I said, "Bill, if he doesn't stop this chair, you jack his jaw right through the roof of this jet arm." And what's terrible about it is, I meant it. I got mad. The veins in my neck popped out. My face turned red. He left, and in a moment, the Grand Poobah of Northwest Airlines came down and said, "Sir, what's the matter with you?" I said, "Oh, ma'am, I don't have a problem other than this buffoon that you have working for me." He said, "Well, we'll get your chair," and they did. But I'd read Romans chapter 8, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And every time I ever did that, I thought about that guy at the airport, and I'd think, "Oh my, he could bring a charge against me." That haunted me for a long time. I wished 1,000 times I'd never done that. But then one day it dawned on me, what if he did? I do believe the Lord would answer like this, "Yes, I know. I was there. I witnessed it." But let me tell you something about David. I marked off his horizons in eternity past. I set him up to be the object of my affections. And in time, I sent my son. And I took David's sins, all of them, past, present, and future, and I laid them on Christ, my beloved son, the apple of my eye. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died not just for David, he died as David. And in holy justice, I poured out my wrath on my own son that should have been on David. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" No, I don't believe I can lose my salvation. If it were up to me, I could, but I'm in God's hands. He's the judge. He's determined the criteria for the judgment. And he said, "Faith in the person and work of Jesus is what's required."
Our loss, David Miller, and heaven's gain. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.